to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the ranch house of the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll be talking about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman Show, Don Shaw and Don Patterson. Hi, guys.
Hey there.
Hey, Tom.
Good to have you with us today. My name's Tom Houston, and here with a special introduction of our creator, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Kevin. Let me push the little knob up here.
Doucet.
Doucet is his name.
Doucet.
Doucet.
Where are you, Kevin?
Creator.
Is that it?
I believe that's it.
I thought there was a little more when I listened to it. Maybe I don't know. Anyway,
well, it beat the heck out of me doing it. So
no, that was good. We need to use that a few weeks. It kind of gives me a
sort of weird. Kind of gives you that heavenly feeling.
Heavenly feeling. I intend to get that after a while. That heavenly.
Uh-huh.
I've slopped my drink all over the table over here. It's really great. Hello there. Welcome to the exciting Blind Handyman Show. Gather around your radios, friends and neighbors, and light a cigarette. By the way, I've quit.
Again?
Quit. How long?
Quit.
Two days.
Until his brother-in-law comes
two
by.
Days, two days.
No, I saw my brother-in-law last night at the club, and I didn't have a cigarette.
That's because they were sitting at a different table.
Unfortunately.
Quit until after the show today.
My lovely wife, I don't have any. My lovely wife, Luann, and I have quit at the same time. We've already had a big fight yesterday. It was just...
Oh, that could happen now. That definitely could happen.
So, you know, I don't know whether I recommend...
quitting together.
Communal quitting. Communal quitting.
That's right. Communal quitting.
Communal quitting.
Man, that's a tough way to go now.
It is. It has been. So she decided she'd quit the same time I did. We were going to do it while she was on vacation, so she'd get a week in while she's away from me, but we decided that it was time to do it. So, but anyway, it hadn't been nearly as bad as I thought. I went 30, 40 seconds a while ago without thinking about one.
Well, I'd say it'll get better.
That's how it is.
Anyway, this is show number what, see, John? Charles, what number?
I believe this might be 28.
Eight?
Yeah.
Jesus. Boy, goodness gracious.
Unbelievable.
You think that's true?
28? I think it is. I
believe so. Man, that is wild. 28 shows, and we still don't have anything to talk about. Man, the list is phenomenal. I bet my computer, I upgraded. Let me just give you folks who are JAWS or WindowEyes users a little tip here. If you decide to upgrade your operating system, take your JAWS authorization key off before you do it, because you'll lose it if you upgrade.
That's a good tip.
I upgraded to XP Saturday, and, of course, JAWS is now running as a demo. Every 30 minutes, you got to turn off your computer and turn it back on. Also, if you have antivirus, I have Norton's. I guess McAfee's is the other one people have.
The two leaders.
If you have antivirus, I would recommend dumping that off on a floppy or on a CD-ROM or something, because you're also going to lose that if you upgrade. I didn't realize that, so I lost both. Now I'm running with I just renewed Norton's, and so now I'm running with JAWS as a demo, and I'm running with the TriWare version of Norton. and I have to turn my... I can't put it on standby. I have to turn it off every time, because if you put it on standby, then when you hit the down arrow, JAWS isn't there because it's run its 40 minutes, so you have no idea how to turn it off.
Did you call them about getting to your new authorization?
I called them 2 weeks ago, and they were supposed to send me new authorization keys. It's been over 2 weeks. They haven't sent them, but I talked to... And by the way, if Dennis is listening, Dennis, I hold you personally responsible for the fact that I haven't gotten the authorization keys. But I talked to a guy the other day, and they're supposed to be here tomorrow.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah, and they'll load you up.
They're supposed to load me up. What, do they give you five now?
I think they give you five, but also, you know, about the XP, obviously you have the home version. JAWS will function on that, but over at the college, we have XP Pro, and that calls for a JAWS upgrade to the tune of about $500. So
be careful when you upgrade your computer. Get your JAWS authorization key, because you're going to lose it if you... I mean, I just...
Yeah,
you know,
interesting.
So if you... I guess WindowEyes would be the same thing.
Yeah, same kind of deal.
So
probably.
Anyway, that's little blind tips. Maybe
yeah.
we could do that. Blind tips in honor of Aubrey Tips. Remember him, Don?
Yes, right? Sir.
Aubrey and Miss Tips at the blind school. Esther and Audrey. Esther, dear, will you be my wife? Remember that? I guess not. We won't go into this little story we made up. Tommy has email. Our man in email, Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy. All right, This one says, "Hi all, my wife and I have an oil furnace
and
a 275 gallon tank. I'm wondering if any of you all have a technique to tell how full or how empty depending on one's positive or negative position is. My wife always asks the kids to check the tank, but they never get around to it, and I'm getting tired of going under the house with the spiders and snakes to prime the furnace.
Okay.
Thanks in advance. This is from Walt Cohn."
So every time he runs out of fuel, he has to go relight the pilot light, right?
Apparently you got to prime the furnace again or something.
Yes. Well, my thought first was when I had propane or whatever it is, it's not really propane. It's
liquid gas.
It's liquid gas. It's not butane. It is propane.
Yeah.
When I was out there in the country and talked like this,
yeah.
When Tavey was a four-syllable word, the guy came around on a regular basis. I mean, every week he'd come on Friday afternoons or whenever he came and he'd see how much I had and add whatever I needed. If that is not possible, the greatest suggestion, Shaw, you may have seen this, on the list was from this Dale who lives in Canada. What's his name? Dale Evans? Is it actually Evans?
Yeah, the Polar Bear Express. He is from Canada.
He is. We have got to figure out a way to have him. I saw some guy on the list that said, "I'll pay half the phone bill if you have him on as a guest."
Uh-huh.
So we need to have this guy on. Dale Evans from... I guess from Ontario. Is
Ontario
a province or a city?
Ontario's
a province, isn't it?
A city and a province.
It's a city. Ontario?
I think there is.
You mean the province so nice they named it twice?
Probably so.
Wow. Anyway, he said, find your stick as deep as the thing and stick it down in there and see where the liquid comes up to. Why the hell didn't I think of that?
That should work. I mean,
depending on the
location of the tank. Also, of course, do not at any time consider calling Kevin Doucet, because he'd tell you to strike a match.
So take a dipstick and stick it down in there and see how far the...
Or he also might ask the wooden stick, but you might ask your company there that maybe they have like a dipstick thing that would, you know.
You think they would?
If there's a gauge, I'd take the glass off the gauge.
Yeah, and figure out where.
If there's a gauge, I'd fill it up and get somebody to show me where it is filled up, and then let it empty
mark the gauge half full.
And now I've seen these. You just put a little braille dot there. This is half full, or this is. A little stick-on dot, or just make a dot out of something, or put a piece of scotch. Like, I have a piece of scotch tape on the thermostat in the shop, which shows me about where to set the heat. It's not a braille dot.
Yeah.
I'm having a senior moment.
Another thing that you could, I don't know what the tank even looks like, how solid, but if it's any, I don't know if it's solid like a propane tank, because it may not work, but if it was any other kind of configuration, you might learn the sound of it.
And then someone said, if try to pick up part of the tank, and if you get a hernia, it's full, and if you don't, it's probably empty. So.
I thought all those suggestions were good, but I see every time I read the blind catalog of some of places like LS&S or Ann Morris or any of those other. There's several places. Speak to Me has this also. There's a deal that you can attach to the side of a coffee cup or a glass of water that will tell you it's full when the water hits that thing.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So if you put this, if you knew that you had a stick that you stuck down in the thing and it went to the bottom, so you'd figure out how far, where the metal came. Right? And then you stick this thing, this glass of water thing, on the end of your thing, and you start lowering it down in there, and if it hits liquid and says...
Glass is full.
You'll know that you have, so
X
you could... X number of gallons in your tank.
But also, it looks like maybe without having to know the level, if you just maybe figured out your monthly usage or however you did it and just have your man maybe come more often, split the difference,
Yeah, you ought to be able to have him. I just call him every 2 weeks to come.
It'd
if he's a guy that'll come, like if you call him one day, he'll come the next day. I just figure out, you know. I don't know. There ought to be, but you ought to be able to do it. When I was younger, I could have done it by banging on the tank with my knuckles. I swear I could. And depending on how old this guy is. Anyway, go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, was it last week, Donald, that we had this guy as a guest, this Dale Campbell?
Yes, it was, in fact.
You might want to preface this little note here for us and tell us what this is all about.
Well, Dale had basically written a note this week talking about his website a little bit that we had talked about on last week's show, and had basically said, which you can read the details, Tom, of how to do this, but he basically said for blind handyman listeners that if you would that if you're ordering something off of the Blind Mart, Blind Mice Mart webpage, and you put in, well, when you go to checkout, if you put in the code that you'll read here in a minute, you will get, what does it say, 20% off?
Let's say a 15% discount.
15% discount. Uh-huh. And another deal for blind handyman listeners to get
a $20
gift certificate.
Gift certificate, right.
So, yeah, Tom, if you want to read a little bit of those details, that some listeners.
Okay.
Okay. It said, "Hi, Don. The discount I wrote you about is now active at checkout. After filling in address information and selecting a delivery source, airmail, DHL, or UPS, there's an edit field titled Coupon Code. Entering Blind Handyman in this field will generate a 15% discount. This will show on the next page that asks for the credit card information. It shows an itemized breakdown of the purchase total, the discount amount, taxes, and shipping. Also, if you're interested, I would be willing to offer a $20 gift certificate to all guests appearing on the show. It would be for up to $20 or that amount off any purchase in addition to the discount. After Christmas sales have dropped off, I was wanting three $500 scholarships available at the end of the month for students, but right now we are looking at only one or a couple of lesser amounts. Eventually, my goal is to offer full four-year scholarships to winners of the essay contest. Perhaps a long-range dream, but a dream that is worth obtaining. Have a great show. Keep warm. Hopefully, this is Mother Nature's last gasp of winter for us. I am ready to play in the dirt, Dale Campbell." And that's the guy from the blindmicemart.com.
Yeah.
So if you buy some stuff from his site, you will get a 15% discount, and it's good that he offers it at the end of checkout.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you just type in Blind Handyman.
Right. So
that's all you have to do is type in Blind Handyman.
Enter Blind Handyman in this field. And it will generate a 15% discount.
All right.
And so what he's doing, he's offering people who have been guests, like this nut Kevin Doucet. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. No, he's a wonderful buyer.
Pyrotechnician.
Why doesn't he come to Blind Weekend? We're having Blind Weekend, Kevin. If you'd like to come down, we'd love to have you.
We can't meet your airplane.
We could go to town and meet his airplane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you come down for Blind Weekend? We'd love to have you. Anyway, I'm sorry I said Sunday. No, he's a good guy, and I love him to death. I think he'd fit in very well at Blind Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I'll have the new console in Blind Weekend, Kevin, if you decide you want to come. Anyway.
You're right. This radio is screwed up, Patterson.
I told you. It doesn't work.
I thought you'd...
Phil Parr, creator and producer, is having trouble with his earphones. That's unbelievable.
Earphone problems.
It is unbelievable.
It is.
I tried this new system, and it just doesn't... some reason, when you talk, it overloads it or something. I don't know what the deal is. Anyway, what was he? Oh, a 15% discount, and he's going to give a discount to people who are guests on the show?
I would think probably upcoming guests.
Yeah, upcoming guests.
Yeah.
You mean those guys who have been guests don't get the discount? Well, that's not fair.
But now we will have them groveling to be guests.
Because they get the discount?
They get a gift certificate.
Get the $20.
Give them a Lester Roloff prayer book, and it would just make their day complete.
Yeah.
And an 8x10 glossy.
Creator. Uh-huh.
Of the Blind Andy Man. I'll even know I sold $400 worth of CDs at the Ray Price show. I'm going to sing on Longview. You want to go?
Yeah. Why not?
Longview, Ray Price and Longview.
You're going to sing again?
Well, Why? Yeah, why do you find that?
I think that's wonderful.
In Longview? You're going to sing in Longview?
Of all places.
I thought we would advertise it all over the world on the Blind Handyman
Phil
show.
Phil Parr is going to sing on the Ray Price show
the
in Longview.
Opening act for Ray Price.
Yeah.
What a deal.
Myself and Ricky Lee Hurd. It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would say so.
I think I'll come out and go, don't look so sad. I guess that wouldn't work.
And then Ray Price will come out and imitate you.
Imitate me. It'd be good. Have we already frittered away 15 minutes?
Oh, well, a little bit earlier, but almost.
Is that all email?
I had one long story.
We'll do it another time.
We'll do it after. Don has it. You have a tool you're going to talk about after the second break.
Yes, sir. From the tool shed.
From the Don's tool shed.
You got a
tool shed, I'll tell you that. But here's the thing. Here's the deal. Get out of town.
That was pretty cool.
What is the guest's name, Shawboy?
The guest we have today is Pete Makocek.
Pete Makocek from
Long Island.
Sounds like he ought to be a football player.
Sounds like he ought to be an accordion player.
He does. It's going to be interesting if he plays accordion. All right, well, let's dial him up, and we'll have him on in just a minute back with more of the Blind Handyman Show. Stand by.
Broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
It's Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from the
ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves. Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
Latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com.
Is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Hey, Pete from Long Island, New York.
You are listening to the Blind Handyman.
Start that over again.
That's our board operator.
Try this once again. Hey, Pete from Long Island. How are you doing this afternoon?
How you doing, guys?
Man, we are great. How about yourself? You okay?
Yeah, I'm getting sick of this snow, though, boy.
Well,
that snow, huh?
We've had rain now for seems like 2 weeks. I guess you're what part of are you? You're in Long Island?
Actually, I'm on a little island off the end of Long Island called Shelter Island.
Shelter Island, but it has not been sheltered from the snow, I guess.
No, that's right.
Not from the Northeasters this winter.
And you've had you had the mighty snowstorm, the really big one a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, still on the ground. Frozen solid.
Frozen solid.
Man.
I couldn't handle that. I'll take the rain, you know?
Well, the worst thing is I've been doing some work on my house, and I've been cutting the sheetrock outside.
Yeah.
And I'm carrying sheetrock, and it's real slippery, and there's holes in the ice.
So you've been doing some sheetrocking on your house?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm making a cedar closet.
Now, this is you use two existing walls. You put this in a corner or what?
I built an extension on the house, and this was a space between the old house and the room, which I just put a doorway up, and it was a closet, but it was unfinished. And
now, you built an extension on the house as in you yourself?
Yes, sir.
Whoa. What a deal.
I even dug the foundation with a shovel. I did the top to bottom, the whole thing.
Ambitious.
Well, listen, why don't you come do the show, and I'll just move away. Go away. That's the wildest thing
deal,
I ever.
Man.
And you say you dug the foundation as in it has a basement under it.
Well, it's just a crawl space.
Just a crawl space. So it's on piers and beams, or it's on what? It's supported.
I poured foundation. I dug a ditch and lined it and built it up a little bit with wood.
And poured it just to...
Just had the cement truck come, fill it in with cement.
The trench around the sides, is your deeper than the rest of the slab? I mean, this is...
I'm sorry, sir?
Did you dig a trench around it, like for a beam? I mean, is that what you said? You dug a trench around the foundation?
Well, I dug a trench... off the back of my house, I extended my house straight back.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I just dug three sides around.
Right.
Okay.
Filled that in. When that was filled in, then I dug out the rest.
Right. Uh-huh.
After that, had cement had hardened, I dug out the rest of the hole there.
Mm-hmm. And laid like the floor joists on these three sides across.
Right. Put a sill on the three sides.
I got you.
Okay.
Wow.
And put some center in the middle. You know, put some.
Cedar posts
in the middle to hold up the center part of the...
Oh, some cinder blocks. Okay.
Right. Yeah,
so there is a crawl space under there.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure the animals appreciate that.
They do.
Raccoons and things. You probably don't have any up here in the snow, though, do you?
What
a deal. And you how much help did you get? Other than, I know you didn't pour the cement, but how much help did you get? Did you do this primarily by yourself?
The only part I didn't do is I hired a sheetrocker and a spackler, because everybody said, don't try to sheetrock it yourself because it's impossible. You can never get them up on the ceiling by yourself. And a sheetrocker, real sheetrocker and spackler can do a really nice job, and they did. It made it look really nice.
But you didn't try that yourself.
I would have done the sheetrock. Well, I would have, but everybody told me, and the guy, I got a pretty good price on it, and I did everything else. The other part I didn't do is the roof is very flat because of the house that I had, the way I had to meet the house. So instead of shingles, I had a split sheet, you know, tarred and split sheet roof.
Okay.
Which I hired a guy to do because they had to tar the roof and put the split sheet down.
And that tar is hot.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to try to spread the tar even.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
But now, one thing I forgot to ask you, what is your visual acuity? How much do you see?
Almost nothing. I mean, just if you turn a light bulb on in front of me, I can see that.
Light perception.
That doesn't help a lot, does it?
Well, Pete, I really agree with you about having certain jobs done for you. You know, like I've hung sheetrock myself, and if you're going to do the ceilings, you can get somebody to help you. But in certain areas, like for mica and or sheetrock and spackling, there's nothing like having a professional, a guy that really knows what he's doing.
Yeah. For the most part, I like to do the whole thing myself.
And you like to do framing. You said when we talked on the phone there that you really like framing and electrical.
Framing and electrical, yeah.
Tell us about your framing now. Did you stick frame and build the wall and then stand the wall up, or how did you do that?
Right. And
so you had a plate down on the concrete there.
Oh, well, the beginning from the concrete, you build the floor, you build that in place.
Okay.
I don't know how much detail you want to go into or hide. You know, if you want me to explain things on a...
Well, you ran some two-by-fours across.
Two-by-tens? How big a lumber do you use on this floor?
On top of the cement wall.
Okay.
First, I put a layer of... you either put termite paper here or I use flashing, aluminum flashing.
Okay.
Okay, then on that, on its flat side, two-by-sixes all around the perimeter.
You laid them down flat? Okay.
Down,
I got
and
you.
And I put bolts down through... while the cement was drying, I placed bolts around the cement.
The
little
window of opportunity there.
Yeah. They're called J bolts.
You bet. Either,
some people put them, screw them into the sole plate, or and then put the whole thing on the wet cement. Put the cement. Well, it's still wet with the bolts in it, but I put the bolts in place and then just drilled the holes and bolted them down.
Mm-hmm.
And then took, I looked up in a chart about the span that I had to use, and height was a real problem because I'm building this on a very, very, 115-year-old house.
Uh-huh.
So I had to use as little height as I could, so I used 2x6s, and I had to space them according to a chart. I could use 2x6s to do an 8-foot span, so it was a 24-foot wide extension.
Okay, so you put two cinder blocks in the middle.
Two cinder blocks in the middle, exactly.
Now, these are edgeways 2x6s.
Right, for the joists. Those are the floor joists.
Okay. Uh-huh. How did you tie those to the 2x6 that you put down on the concrete?
Just toe-nailed them down.
Just toe-nailed a nail in.
Right.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you put the decking, plywood.
I got you.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. Then that's the deck. Once the deck is down, then you start going around the perimeter of the outside walls here. You have to use 2x6s for exterior walls so you can put extra insulation.
And you laid those down as a plate on top of the plywood that you had put down on the frame there.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, when I built them, actually you build them. I don't nail the bottom plate down.
Yeah, you build it on the ground.
You build it laying down, the whole thing laying down, and just stand the whole thing up.
So you built the wall, and then you stood, like, what size section would you build?
I was able to build a section. It was two 18-foot sides and a 24-foot along the back.
Mm-hmm.
The 24-foot I did in two pieces.
Okay.
I couldn't lift it. And the 18s I was able to lift by myself. I just positioned, had to prepare that I was going to lift it and have things in place like sawhorses and stuff so I could pick it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just
because once you get it up a little bit, you can lift
it. Yeah, once you get it started, the thing I was worried about is that once I stood it up, it would just keep going and fall off onto the other, onto the ground.
But it would fall off. The whole thing would just pitch over. Okay, so you've got it up and you've got it standing up and you're able to stand there and hold it. Did you have a wife or a girlfriend or a buddy tap a nail in so that you would no longer have to?
It stood up. Once I stood it up, it stood up by itself.
It stood up.
I could even move it around.
Yeah, I was thinking you could ease down to the end and tack it to the house right quick. Just tack it up there so it couldn't move and then get it.
I had some wooden places with nails in it already laid around.
Okay.
So as soon as I stood it up, I put a couple of braces on it right away.
So it couldn't move.
So it couldn't move.
I got you.
And it wasn't too bad.
But a 9-foot section of stick framing, 9-foot section of wall, 8 feet tall, is an unwieldy son of a gun.
It's got to be.
He said 18 feet. 18 feet long.
18 feet.
Oh, 18 feet long. That's one side 18 feet.
Yeah.
That makes it twice as unwieldy as they say in Texas.
But I didn't. Some people build the entire wall when it's laying down. They put the some contractors put the plywood on while it's laying down. Put the windows in. Put the siding on.
You could.
And stand the whole lot, but there was no way I could lift something like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All I built was the basic frame.
16-inch centers?
The windows or the headers for the windows. I wanted to minimize the weight, and then I just did the whole thing up.
16-inch centers?
Yes. And you could build smaller walls. I mean, the 24-foot wall I did in two pieces.
I would probably have, at my age, of course, I'm a lot older than you. By the way, do you mind telling us how old you are?
47.
47. Well, I'm not a lot. I'm 62. I would have probably built that wall in 2 9-foot sections.
Yeah, that's fine, too. That's good.
Probably what I would have done, and just tack the two together in the center and compensated. Okay.
When all the sections were up, I put an additional second top plate on to pull everything together.
Yeah.
Really
Yeah.
That was a secret. I had some old contractor guy came by who was a friend of my friend's, and he said, do you use two top plates? He says, I always use two top plates.
Well, that's usually standard here because, like, when you come to your corners, the second top plate, you notch one on one wall and the other one lays right in the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes it real sturdy.
And that would
tie the tops of the walls together, and they would be tied naturally because they were nailed down at the bottom of the floor. And so, okay, we've got walls standing. Next thing is do some electrical, I suppose, right?
Yeah, well, then I put in the center wall. a wall down the middle. It into two 12-foot rooms.
Okay, it's two 12-foot rooms. Now, let me think. This is 24 by 18. So the wall went 24 by 18. The wall, so it's two 18 by 12 rooms, long rooms.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. So you put a center wall.
Put a center wall, and I made the center wall. Now, the pitch of my roof was just 1 foot high. That's all I could make it because it had to meet the other house.
Which way is the gable, on the 18-foot side or the 24-foot side?
As you're looking at the back of the, as you're looking at the 24-foot side, you see the triangle.
You see the gable. I got you. Okay.
Is that enough up there with as much snow as y'all get? Is that kind of dangerously low pitch?
No, I haven't had any problems. And the roofer, the guy did the tar. He said that's fine, man. That's not a problem.
Okay.
And the center wall, it's a cathedral ceiling, so the center wall
is support.
Yeah, I made the center wall just a foot higher.
Right. Okay.
And, just laid the
smart move.
Yeah.
Roof joists
yeah.
across two by eights for the roof joists. Just laid them across.
So there is no attic on this in this
no,
structure.
No.
Okay, I got you. So this center wall is a foot higher.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to buy those odd length 2x6s, didn't you? Huh?
Well, the center wall is 2x4s.
It's 2x4s. Okay.
Yeah, because that's not an outside wall, so it doesn't have to be insulated.
Yeah.
So they don't care. So I just use 2x4s for the inside wall. Yeah, I used that board. 2x10s
and cut a foot off. Yeah, but you use those for fire blocking or for something. I mean, you use those for...
Yeah, they always... Yeah.
There's always a little, I love to have little scraps. I hoard them, little scraps of 2x4. Because you never know what you're going to want to build a little block to put under a shelf or something.
As soon as I throw them out, that's when I need them.
My wife came in my shop the other day and said, your workbench just looks like a rat's nest under there. You need to get a box to put that in. Mm. I don't need a box. There's too much of it. I've got tons of little... But if I need a little piece of wood, buddy boy, it's there. Anyway,
to get it.
So you got the center wall up, you got the side walls up. Next thing is run some rafters.
Roof, put the rafters up. And getting the plywood on the roof, that was one of the hardest jobs.
I bet.
Get the first piece up there. Once the first piece on each side is up, then you get something to lean against a little bit.
Yeah, something to lay on.
That's
the next one.
Man.
And then the rest of them, just pull them up one at a time.
And carrying up an 8-foot sheet of plywood is no small feat.
Yeah, I made a little, stood on a table, put it up, and you use a lot of rope to pull things up.
Don't do it on a windy day.
Framing is tough.
Oh,
so you stood it on a table and leaned it up against and then got up there and pulled it up.
Pulled it up, and once the first one, I didn't even try to get the first one on perfect. I just wanted to get it on so it had some sturdy base, and then I started, then I moved it a little bit, and once I got everything.
The bad thing about being blind is you got to crawl to the far edge to make sure it's even, because that's the edge you want even, and you got to
look at everything.
You got to crawl over there and make sure it's even. If you could see, you could look over there and say, oh, that's even. Let's nail. Now, you obviously, you have a compressor and a nail gun. You didn't do this nailing.
Yeah, I did it just with nails.
You did it pounding nails?
Man.
Yeah. Well, I was in better shape a couple. I did this maybe 6 years ago.
That was going to be my next question. What kind of tools do you have? Or, do you have a little wood shop? Or what did you use, just skill saw and hammer and nails?
Yeah, just a plain old skill saw until I cut the cord on it.
That is a common common occurrence in the blind community.
But you're not the only one. I had a brother-in-law that did it. He was building a doghouse out in my backyard using my skill saw and cut the cord in two.
And he can see.
And he can see.
Yeah.
And I guess I bought a radial arm saw.
Yeah, okay, great.
And next to my house is an old beat-up little garage, and I just set it up in there on the table. Did all the big cutting in there.
Well, let me recommend compressor and nail guns. I don't know.
It's the way to go.
It's if you're going to do something but you've already done it. You don't need them now, do you?
Yeah, for the next one.
You're going to add more.
Well, after that, I built a little shed. I'm looking at my yard now, thinking I'd like to build a little. I have to rebuild the garage. The garage I have is completely rotted away.
So it's time to do that.
Yeah, this house, when I bought it, was in very, very bad shape.
Well, Pete, I had one question on when you built your little add-on room here. You were coming out from the main house 18 feet, and then you were 24 foot wide.
Right.
And you said you ran your floor joists the 24 foot length.
That's right.
And if they were on top of your concrete beam, after you've built the room, of course, you put some kind of siding. Did your siding cover up the ends of those boards, or did you put a plate at the ends? How did you accomplish that? You know,
with
when
the siding?
With just the siding.
Yeah. The one good thing that I had was the side walls were a little bit low, so I had the plywood went over the. There was an outside on the sill when you put the joists up.
Right.
The joists are nailed into a faceplate, a 2x6 faceplate that goes around the outside of the perimeter also. So that's what you
standing up on its edge.
Right.
Yeah.
Right on
okay.
Its edge.
Yeah.
It's like a wall laying on its side, and you just leave it laying on its side.
I got you.
Uh huh.
Right.
So when you look at it, you see the bottom plate.
Yeah.
You see this face plate, then you see the bottom plate of the wall, and then.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then what I did was just covered a flashed around the bottom, and then I just put. I wanted to match the house, so I used plain old clapboard.
Yeah, which is.
Plain old clapboard.
And I'm not sure I understand exactly what that is. Does that overlap? I mean, does clapboard overlap?
Yeah, it's like horizontal boards,
like
which overlap.
And the edge of the top one kind of goes under the edge of the one above it.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, then I know what it is. I've read about it and thought I knew what it was, but
yeah,
that's what it
old,
is.
Very old, and it's, yeah. You know what they used to use it. Actually, the people at the lumber yard were like, oh, we haven't had a guy cast a clapboard in years. They had to go find some, and...
Yeah.
So,
they,
Pete,
they
had it. Have you been able to? Have you been blind all your life, or at one time could you see?
I could see when I was until I was like in my 20s from retinitis pigmentosis, so it's a little at a time.
Okay. Uh-huh. So you've learned. You knew some carpentry.
My father was a house builder.
You know your stuff here.
When I was a kid, I saw it all, and I used to go and help him and clean up, and you know, so
yeah.
When I came to do, I mean, that was after I was like 18, like 15 or something, I didn't see any more carpentry, and then I was off in school and here and there and around, and when it came to doing this house, now I got to do it without seeing anything, but I had it in my head. I knew what things were supposed to look like.
That's
very good. I knew how a carpenter lays out when they do framing, when they make the lines and the X's on the thing, but instead of drawing a line with a pencil, I just used little nails and tapped them in place and made my lines that way on the plate so I knew where the framing goes. And
yep.
Came up with a little system, and it worked.
Are you on our list, on our handyman list?
I just got on it a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and it's really good. I can't believe it.
Good. You're the kind of people we need to answer questions.
After reading the postings, I feel like I've just met a bunch of brothers.
That's a good posting.
We're going to give it a year or so and see how it grows. We may, and I'm dead serious, do a handyman list convention, see if everybody wants to come and maybe we get some vendors to come and demonstrate some things. Anyway, that's in the future. Let me ask you one more question before we go. You can hear the bumper music under. Are you a working fella? I have
a little computer business. I fix computers, and I do some web hosting. And now I'm getting into a lot more audio stuff. I'm doing some audio with some friends of mine. And my first paid audio gig a while ago.
Tell me what you mean by audio gig, because that's what I do.
Oh, I made a background for a theater in New York City.
Ah, that's good.
Background stuff. I got my first commercial on the air. I'm working on it.
You got using Cakewalk? What are you using?
Soundforge?
I don't have it, but I hear it's very good. So, do you do computers for sighted people too?
Yeah,
that's
but
good.
But I'm trying to do less of that now, and I want to do more of the recording stuff. Really.
More of the recording stuff. We all?
Well, are you an accordion player, Pete?
Sorry.
Can you play the accordion or not?
No.
Okay. you might think about it. Listen, you're like most of our guests that we have on. I think another session with you in a month or two would be good. And be sure and post to the list and keep us in touch, will you?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Hey, we enjoyed it, Pete.
We'll talk with you in a few weeks. Pete, I still don't have his...
Mikocek.
Pete, yes. Is that it?
I'm sorry.
Did I do Mikocek? Is that right?
Perfect.
Thank you, sir. Buy an accordion. Thanks for coming and being with us. Back with more of the.
See you, Pete.
Back with more of the Blind Handyman in just a minute.
Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove. You can hear
live, unpredictable internet radio
on the ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Interactive,
playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more.
Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Or visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio.
Listening to The Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
Okay. Good to be back. Well, y'all know we talk about on the show quite often, in fact, on our little intro about doing projects and everything with the blind in mind, and we've been called to task a couple of times for maybe not explaining something exactly or not figuring out a way to do it. And I know that springtime is right around the corner. It would be hard to convince people like Pete up in New York we just talked to, and us, for a matter of fact. It's been cold as hell around here.
It has been.
I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
But anyway, springtime comes, and of course, we all know that that means grass-cutting time.
Yeah.
And then we've talked about one time on one of our shows, I know it's on the posted on the net, I don't know which one, and indexed about, we talked about lawnmower maintenance. And that was standard gasoline engines. But anyway, and then we've also broached the subject about, could a blind person cut the yard? You know, do you just go at random? Do you just go here and there? Well, through the course of pursuing something else, I've always been interested in alternate power sources other than gasoline, especially like with the war looming over here in Iraq. Everybody says it's just for the oil and just that. And then you hear about hydrogen cars and this battery powered and all that. So anyway, to make a long story short, I have come up with the perfect gadget or tool for a blind person, and you can get it either way. If you want it because it's a great tool, that's okay, or if you just like gadgets, like myself and these other three guys here.
Yeah.
If we're just kind of gadgeteers. Gadgeteers, and
yep.
We like anything that does something weird or nonsensical or silly or practical or whatever.
Different.
In a different way.
Yeah.
Anyway, and this I found on a web page. I think there's at least two manufacturers, Toro, and the one that I'm going to talk about today is Robomo.
Robomo.
And this is a battery-operated, battery-powered lawnmower that operates on its own without you.
Oh, no.
That's right.
Now, that's pretty cool.
And that's what I need.
You could be sitting on the deck drinking a beer, and this thing could be cutting your
exactly.
Yacht.
We've talked about why isn't that possible in today's America?
Well, this is here, and we'll start off with the main thing. A lot of people go, you know, how much does it cost? Well, all right, Toro makes one for about $4.95, and remember, we're not trying to sell any product. We're just talking about them. And the one that I'm talking, Robomo, is a brand name. And I've seen it listed for anywhere from $5.99 to $7-something. So somewhere in between. Read the internet. I'm going to give you a little information here in a minute. But the Robomo is the one I'm most interested in, and it seems the most sophisticated. And it is just such a deal. You just can't believe it. And the reason it's blind-friendly is because it is actually, they describe it as a computer with blades. That's what it amounts to. The thing, and the thing is about 36 inches long. It stands about 12 inches high. It's about 26 inches wide. Has a 21-inch cut. It uses three blades. Now, not standard lawnmower blades. It uses more like the sling blade, like that you put these attachments on your weed eater.
You mean, yeah. Like, right. The, you mean like the sling blade?
Like the sling blade.
Y'all seen that movie?
And it has three of these little blades, and you need no tools to replace the blades. You can snap them on and snap them off.
Okay.
It has two wheels, basically, that keeps it similar to, if y'all have all seen the thing about the IT machine, what do they call that, Don?
I've seen that. What is it called?
I'm not following you.
It's the ultimate scooter.
Yeah, the
what
ultimate scooter.
What is it called, Houston?
There is a name for it. I guarantee you.
Yeah, and I can't think of it.
But anyway, it's not coming to me.
They know what we're
doing. Anyway, it's two independently geared wheels that drive it. It is propelled 24 volts, two 12 volt batteries that power the mower. And in the dimensions, I said it was 36 by 26, and it's also about 12 inches high.
Okay.
If you wanted to get a picture, and it weighs 51 pounds, if you wanted to get a picture of it, you just look at your regular little push lawnmower, little gasoline engine, 21-inch cut, 20-inch cut mower, take the motor off it, take the handles off of it, and then kind of imagine anybody's got a George Foreman grill, the little humpback, the little oval top. It sort of looks like a turtle. Or a squished army helmet with wheels or something, you know.
You're about okay. To blind an army helmet with wheels.
You get out of here. Somebody contain this fellow here. When do his keepers come for him? Anyway, and so the first thing you do, and what makes the robo most unique, like I say, it's the built-in computer. And so it gives voice and audio signals.
Oh,
really?
Yes,
give
sir.
Me a chance.
It talks to you.
Whoa.
And it has a manual controller, like if you had a sighted partner and you wanted to just cut a little bit of area, you drive it like you do one of these little remote control toys that
that's
probably
neat.
Have. But then what you do, you got, and it's good, the recommended lawn size is from 5,000 square feet down. Any bigger, and that's roughly, I don't know if that's quite a quarter of an acre, but
about like our yard over there.
And of course, in most areas, you'd have a front yard and a backyard, and that's what they teach you to do is kind of isolate these. The thing, the installation part, is you have to put this perimeter wire. Sort of like, I don't know if you dog lovers have ever put down an electrical fence or a dog with an electric collar that responds. But anyway,
I got your point.
But you can put your control
around,
wire.
So you put this around the perimeter
around
of the
and you can bury it, and grass will grow over it. Nobody can see it, but the lawnmower will not cross it. It will turn itself off before its back wheels will go across it. And what the lawnmower then is programmed to do, once you have, let's just say we have an area, of, and that would be bigger than its desired, let's just say 50 by 50, 50 foot by 50 foot.
Okay. Yeah.
North, south, east, west.
I got you.
Wall. All right, the lawnmower is programmed to when you turn it on, you put it inside its perimeter. It cuts around the perimeter first. And then after that, it goes in V motions at an angle. In other words, it would cut, like, say, from the east wall going north to the north wall. And then it would come back a little further over. Then it come back in V shapes. And then, but if it hits the wall, it has built-in bumpers. And so when it hits the perimeter, it may change direction. It may go from the north wall to the west wall. But it always goes in a triangular kind of motion, V-shaped. It's propelled like by the batteries, but it's guided by a floating compass, they call it. And the computer gives that compass two directions, frontwards and backwards. But every time it comes to the perimeter wire, the computer enters in two new compass directions.
Coordinates.
And so it just goes, and it can, they allegedly, the batteries will last from 5 to 7 hours. Now, I've seen some contradictory, I've looked at two different websites talking about this more, and at one time they said the battery power would last only 2 hours. The last one I looked at said 5 hours, but they make different models. And so you naturally want to check the dealer and go see one in operation. I've never seen an actual one, but anyway, and in say 4 or 5 hours, if it cut a 2,000 like I say, 5,000, but average about 2,000 square foot. The batteries need 24 hours to charge really good, and they said that's how you extend the battery life.
Uh-huh.
And the battery pack, and I know Don Charles had experience with his, he loves electric scooters, and it says that the battery pack would last between 2 and 3 years if it's maintained properly and always used on a full charge.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. And the blades, they recommend you a new set of blades costs like about $39, and they recommend you change every season. But
so are these actual blades, or are they lined like a weed eater?
I think they
thing,
look. No,
what?
It's not lined, but they look like the little nylon. I'm not sure what they're made out of. There's three. They're not like a metal lawnmower blade.
Yeah. So the blades are $39. How much is the battery pack?
Well, the battery pack costs $100 and something. Like I say,
and it'll last how many seasons?
Two or three years.
Two to three years.
Properly
now,
charged.
Now, my final question or next question is. Is there a way that this thing can determine that the lawn has all been mowed?
No, it didn't say that, but what it does, it has a lot of safety features, and also, but it cuts at random, because in some of there's a, if you type in RoboMow, R-O-B-O-M-O-W is just one word on in your search place, and it'll take you to one of these sites, and you can read on it. But it talks about, because somebody asked the question in the frequently asked questions, does it leave the marks?
Uh-huh.
You know, since it's going at random, I don't want my lawn.
But, yeah, all waved up with wheel marks and things.
But see, the gasoline mowers really sling the grass out, but this is a three-stage mulching mower, and it's really at rather low speed as mowers go, and so it doesn't fling the grass, and so really the guy, they describe what you have, the end result is a sea of green.
Uh-huh.
It also has, like, if it bumps into anything that's 6 inches tall or better, like a concrete, if it came up to your swimming pool deck and you fixed it that way, it would just change directions.
Okay.
And so it would eventually just go around. Like, if you had a concrete water fountain that had any kind of a...
Okay, but my question is, if you couldn't put it in Charles' backyard or my backyard because you couldn't... I mean, it wouldn't know the poo was there. It would just run.
But no,
like when it came to the deck.
No, but you can loop the way you would put your perimeter wire. In other
you just
words,
have to put a perimeter
there's
wire
no
around
law
the deck,
that says you couldn't have two sections.
You'd have to have two things of perimeter wire.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could do that.
Just
or,
run off in the pool.
Well, it does not.
See, that'd aggravate you if your $500 lawnmower
ran into the pool. Yeah. What a
but
deal.
It's interesting that you should bring that up because in a sense, its operations are similar to that of the pool cleaners. Just random. It's sort of what you'd call orchestrated randomness.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But, you know, talking about it running in the pool, better than the blind lawnmower with his self-propelled gasoline jobber.
Well,
drove off in the pool.
So, anyway,
do we know someone that did that? I bet we can.
Well,
Shaw Boy, did you?
Someone that's done it, I'm sure.
Shaw, did you do that?
No.
No, you didn't drive the lawnmower in the pool.
But anyway, in our never-ending search for tools and gadgets that blind people can use, I think
excellent.
This is the neatest thing
I've
seen
in a while.
I'll
have to give you credit. That's neat. The only thing is, I don't know. Are you going to buy one?
No, I don't plan on it. I have. I am lawnmower poor. They said it would go up inclines, but
really?
I've got one that I defy it. If they want to send a test guy down here from the factory,
your hill there would be a good test ground.
Well, it says it'll 15 to 20 degree inclines, and.
Whoa.
And it also is child-proof and pet-proof. Like if a child comes and tries to, the only way you could actually get hurt on the thing, and they talk about it, would be from the side. But if you even move it at all, one of the sensors, if you get it out of its level, in other words, if it knows it's going up a hill, like if you try to pick up the front or pick up, it will turn itself off instantly. Mm. So anyway, it looks like the blind guy cannot say to his wife, his sighted wife anymore, well, I just couldn't cut the grass.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Because he absolutely can now.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, someone with one of these little patio homes or something, man, it'd be the thing to have.
Well, it'd be the perfect thing for our yard, except we have a guy that comes and he mulches leaves and he does a lot of other things besides.
Well, with your 8 acres here, you would have to have a herd of them.
You would have to have a bundle of them, wouldn't you?
But we have Tatum's in charge of we have John Tatum is two is primarily He didn't make judge, so we made him primary groundskeeper at the baseball field, which we figured was just about equivalent. And his father helps him a good bit also.
I can't imagine how Frankie Brown would react to one of those lawnmowers.
Yeah, they mentioned that pets are attracted to them for about 5 minutes, and then they'll just ignore them.
Frankie's a little different. Don, she hadn't made too much noise during the show.
No, she's been good today.
Wasn't that fellow from New York? What's his name?
Pete.
Yeah, Pete Mikocek.
Was as good a guest as we've ever had.
Next time we're going to have Pete and his whole orchestra on here. I know
he doesn't play accordion. Get out of town.
I know he's.
Yeah. You're about the blind turtle that raped. I guess not.
Nah.
I guess.
Well,
anyway,
go ahead and tell it now.
Raped an army helmet. Anyway, give the list is just becoming a wonderful thing. And we may have a list convention someday. Donald, how do you get on the list if you want on the list?
And if we have some new people listening to the show that want to subscribe to the list, send that blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Yes, sir.
That's especially if you want to join the list.
That's right. And especially if you want to send some email,
send that email
correspondence to
one more time
to blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
And the list is subscribe and it's blind handyman. We need email to read on the show. We'd only got two emails this week, and
we will start reading from the list.
I'm getting tired of coming up with fictitious names and sending this stuff to Tommy. He's about to discover me.
He's not doing that. Don't trust me. You're about to blind. I guess I told that, didn't I? Anyway, we'll do it again next week. Thank y'all. Thank you. Well, we need email. We do. God love your hearts. They're going to take us off the air if we don't get some email in here. they say I sound more like Lester Roloff. Thank you, Don Shaw. Thank you, Don Patterson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Tom Houston.
Yes,
thank you, sir. I'm
thank
Phil Parr. I see you said the blind man as you picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.